WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and Vladimir Putin may be getting together very soon. CBS's Ed O'Keefe at the White House.
Overnight, a Kremlin official responded, saying a meeting had been agreed to, but just between the U.S. and Russian leaders, with a possible venue announced later.
President Trump's deadline for a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine is tomorrow. The president's higher tariffs on dozens of U.S. trading partners kicked in at midnight. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Consumers are likely to see price increases when they buy a car, whether it's domestic or imported, a computer, an electronic gadget, a toy, furniture.
A technology issue created a nightmare for United Airlines passengers like this woman in Houston.
Between all of the time spent waiting for agents and stuff, I missed my flight. And I had three other connecting flights dependent on that.
United says the problem's been resolved. Service is getting back to full strength. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Just over a half of kindergartners in MPS were vaccinated for measles last year, far below the state average. Officials say vaccine hesitancy and issues like getting to appointments contribute to the low rate. With measles cases confirmed up north, health officials stress how fast the disease can spread in schools. The Milwaukee Health Department is offering free MMR shots at city clinics. State lawmakers are pressing Milwaukee's mayor to deal more aggressively with a wave of violence downtown. In a letter, 20 GOP state reps are asking Mayor Cavalier Johnson to push for more police staffing and to resolve an ongoing police labor contract dispute. The mayor's office says overall crime is down, with decreases in everything except homicides. No charges will be filed in the school bus crash that took the life of a 5-year-old in Sussex earlier this year. Finn Katona was struck while switching to a shuttle bus outside Silver Spring Intermediate School. The Hamilton School District has adjusted bus routes for younger students as a safety measure. If you want to pass down some of your outdoor knowledge, the state could use your help. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking volunteers to teach and certify basic hunter education students and teach hunters of all experience levels practical outdoor skills. Volunteer opportunities are available in all parts of the state. Since the program's creation in 1967, more than 20,000 volunteers have educated hunters in the state, certifying more than 1 million hunters. The program has also contributed to a significant decrease in hunting safety incidents. All hunter education volunteers must pass a DNR background check. For more information about becoming a volunteer instructor or applying, visit the DNR website.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Another sweep for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Braves 5-4 to complete another 3-game sweep. The team has tonight off before hosting the Mets tomorrow night. At the Packers training camp in Green Bay, Jordan Love talked about his story running on the website The Players Tribune about the loss of his father at the age of 14 after he committed suicide. The family says that Orban Love, age 51, had an adverse reaction to a heart medication that led to mental illness.
So my marketing agent was one who connected me. They approached and wanted to be able to write my story. It's the real stuff that's happened in my life. So, I think it's very cool to be able to share that. And I think there's some stuff, in my story that, I think a lot of people relate to and have been in similar situations. So whatever things people might be going through, just keep going and keep pushing through is really the message of it. I appreciate them for giving me that opportunity.
As Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Slight chance of a thunderstorm today. Otherwise, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, showers and storms and a low of 72. Friday, partly sunny, 86. Again, a slight chance of a storm. Saturday, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the upper 80s.
Currently, 66 degrees.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress. For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning to you. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you along on this Thursday morning. It's August 7th. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be along in mere seconds. Coming up this hour, we will be talking to Luann Bird about the recent town hall held by Congressman Brian Steil in the southeastern part of the state. And it's one thing to give a member of Congress credit for holding an in-person town hall. It'd be another if the content were a little more, say, on the up and up. And Luann Bird is going to talk to us about that. We'll visit with Todd Alba and find out what he's doing on his program later today, afternoons from 2 to 4. You normally hear him on Wednesdays along with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project. Well, Trigvi's going to be joining us here this morning. He's actually in Lithuania, where his wife is from, so he's visiting family out there, and is going to talk about his work promoting democracy around the world, helping countries that are new to democracy get a feel for the systems, the norms, the safeguards, and now some of those same lessons have to be taught here at home. So we'll talk to Trigvi Olson about that as well. A reminder that tomorrow is Friday, so that means it's going to be Free Ticket Friday. We'll be giving away Milwaukee Brewers tickets again. We'll also have Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. We'll have Mike Clemens with sports. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along as well. So again, a very busy Friday edition of these mornings powered by Up North News across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's see, in a bit here, I'll go back to the mailbag because as Brittany Merlot joins us now, and Brittany, I did not ask if you are much, I don't know what your adult beverage choices are. We've been talking about IPA beers and then things like bourbon and scotch and whiskey. What is your, if there even is a, maybe you're not even an adult beverage drinker.
Are you a big fan of Merlot?
Yeah, that's so funny. You have talked about all three things that I do dabble in. I don't drink much, but on occasion I do. And I've had to force myself to drink Merlot just because of my last name. So now, yes, I do like Merlot. But, you know, you had to start with the sweet, whiter wine, and then you work your way to the red and darker wine. So that's how I had to do that. But craft beers, I do enjoy that. I love the craft breweries and the different places and the just seeing them work so hard and make such amazing different kind of beer, and the styles and the flavors that they come up with these days are outstanding. So I do love to go to them, collect growlers. Those are pretty cool.
You collect growlers?
Oh, I do. Wow. All across the north, you know, from Minnesota to Michigan to Wisconsin, even Illinois. So that's pretty cool, but I do enjoy whiskey and a bourbon too on occasion.
So yeah, on this National IPA Day, Tony put up on YouTube, IPAs are trash and the garbage is where they belong. He says
Tony.
Bourbon, scotch, and whiskey, that's the correct order of taste. From Adam, now instead of just, you know, calling names, you know, when we say we don't like IPA, I'm like, well, just tell us what is your favorite? What's a good IPA? Adam puts up on YouTube, Pliny the Elder from Russian River Brewing is seen as the gold standard in IPAs. Let's see. Tony says, I did have a hazy IPA from Three Sheeps. That was okay. But that was about it. And then finally from Alicia, you know what's not fair? The second I turned 40, vodka gave me heartburn.
Right?
Yeah. And I always talk about my preference as bourbon, but now I get a headache rather easily from it, which I'm going to say is a self-control mechanism and has prevented me in the age of social media from putting up anything really stupid online. It's just a way to say, hey, young man, settle down. The two old fashions, that's good. That's your limit. So thanks for joining us for Alcohol Talk at 7:10 in the morning. Why don't we turn to the weather now, where things are going to be getting a little hot and steamy here.
It is. Things are changing. First and foremost, that wildfire smoke is pretty much gone. We're all at moderate AQI levels. That's the yellow out there. So not too bad. Finally, after an entire week of that, we're finally breathing in some much fresher, cleaner air right now. Temperatures are at about 60 degrees in Superior, 72 right now in La Crosse. Everyone else is in between there. We're looking at more clouds north and patchy fog too. Dense in some places. More sunshine shining through down south in the state. And today we are getting much more muggy. I'm talking about dew points at about the mid-60s to nearing 70 degrees. So very sticky. It's going to be mostly sunny out there too, with highs reaching the mid to upper 80s today. So the heat index already feeling into the 90s this afternoon. Now we do, of course, have storms, active weather. All of that is starting up, and it's going to start this afternoon. I think around 3 or 4 o'clock or so around southwest areas of the state. It is going to be moving towards the Madison area, maybe around 8 o'clock or so. And then in towards the Milwaukee, probably around midnight and after. Now, we could see a few more scattered showers and storms lingering in the Fox Valley still tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, Lake Superior towns get a little swipe of some showers and storms. And then even bigger storms start to form as we go into the evening tomorrow. And that trend continues, too, as we go into Saturday, because another cold front is going to be hitting, and that's going to spark up some strong to severe storms as they work through the state. So in between the storms, we're going to see the extreme heat, right, this afternoon. We're also going to see it tomorrow afternoon, where there is an extreme heat watch right now for northwestern parts of the state. And those heat index by tomorrow is going to be feeling like 100 degrees. Ooh. So we're going to be sweating there. And that is going to hang on Saturday for the southeast part of the state, while the northwest part of the state is going to be feeling that cold front and getting some relief. So hotter longer further southeast, still getting just as hot up north, just not as long.
And with the chance, but not certainty of precipitation, I just want to let folks around Chippewa County know, whether you're farmers or growing things, I am now taking offers, financial offers from you, on whether to put the top on my Jeep up or leave it down. Because if I leave it down, that guarantees it's going to rain. Whereas if I think it might rain and I put the top up, it's not going to rain. So whichever one you want to have happen, my Jeep top is for sale. Just as a weather barometer.
I've got my Jeep shirt on, the Wrangler shirt.
Is a Wrangler. Yeah.
Right? See,
that's perfect. Love it. From Rob, good morning. From Tigerton, it's partly cloudy, 62 degrees with light fog. Yesterday morning, I mowed 4 yards in Tigerton, then a doctor's appointment in Shawano, then a late lunch of spaghetti and meatballs at the Shawano Cafe, and went for a ride along Highway 29. Today, I have lawns to mow in Tigerton. Things are getting dry and could use a good drink. I heard that this is the driest start in many areas in about 50 years. He says, Wisconsin had another tornado from the severe weather outbreak in northwestern Waupaca County, or 5 miles from my residence. Let's see. Alicia says, side note, the drive to and from Antigo from Kimberly is really long, so that's good. Let's see. Rob says, I like Brittany's shirt with the Jeep. What I pulled with my lawnmower tractor earlier this summer for Todd, my mechanic. So there you go. Back to the IPAs. Adam says, speaking of IPAs, it is the Great Taste of the Midwest this Saturday in Madison, which is the largest outdoor beer festival in the U.S. So cheers. All right, that sounds great. And let's see, we talked about novelty songs during today's history lesson as well. And a listener in the Chippewa Valley puts on the text line, if you're looking for more recent novelty songs, there's an artist from Australia named Tom Carty, whose entire catalog of songs was meant to be funny. And from Jim in Brookfield, Pat, you made my day. From now on, whenever I have a fever for more cowbells, I will know the correct Bruce Dickinson direction to channel my fever for more cowbell. So I'm glad we've schooled everybody and all the various Bruce Dickinsons out there in the world. And who knew?
Who knew there were so many?
Who knew there were so many and that we've been giving credit to the wrong one all this time? And it's not even the lead singer for Iron Maiden. And if you missed all this in today's history lesson, may I again suggest, first off, getting up earlier so you can join us for the history lesson every morning at 6:50. And let's, oh, here's one more from Stephen Milwaukee. Bell's Two-Hearted Ale must be another IPA. Recommend as well. Or again, you can subscribe to the show as a podcast, head over to Spotify or Apple, and that way you can listen back. And as you listen back, you can then send notes correcting us whenever we get something wrong. That never happens here, does it? No. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in our next hour.
Sounds good.
Keep in mind that the other way you can follow what we're doing here is to get our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click on subscribe up in the top banner. There's also our new Sunday morning newsletter, given the original name Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where we talk about Wisconsin politics. I've started trying to outline what's going to be in this weekend's newsletter about Wisconsin politics, and it is not easy. And we're going to be talking to Joe Sopecki in our next hour about this week's Wisconsin political headlines. And it's not going to be easy. I sent him three different stories that came in late yesterday. And when I got done looking at these three stories, I posted them to social media with this comment that I am almost literally begging some Republican politician to talk about something of substance rather than the carousel of what we're dealing with here. That would include Congressman Derek Van Orden. The headline from Anna Kleiber's story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel: Derek Van Orden escalates Mark Pocan feud by posting a photo of a naked man in a ski mask with a sex toy. This is what Derek Van Orden finds funny, is in trying to, you know, say something insulting about a fellow member of Congress on his social media feed, you know, where kids go. He's posting a photo of a naked man in a ski mask with a sex toy and thinks that he's being very funny. And that's really all I can say about that without getting into details that are not good for morning radio. I would ask, does this mean that Derek Van Orden is not suitable for Congress? The answer is Derek Van Orden is currently not suitable for middle school. But yet here he is. We've got also coming out of Madison, 20 Republican lawmakers call on Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson to act on Milwaukee violence. They want him to take specific steps to address violence in the city, according to this article in the Journal Sentinel by David Clary and Allison Durr. Here's the problem with that. Crime is down in Milwaukee. But of course, whenever there is something that is bad and gets a lot of TV attention, well, it's going to get a lot of political attention. It's just that the Swiss are known for their precision timepieces. The Swiss could only wish that they were as predictable as Wisconsin Republicans when it comes to playing the Milwaukee card. That's all they really know how to do, it seems, and they're doing it again, grabbing, you know, a particular high-profile crime and saying that it's indicative of an entire city, when the statistics show that it's anything but. And that there are also reasons why the legislature previously interfered with how the Police and Fire Commission can manage the way that the Milwaukee Police Department is run. But it's always easier to throw rocks from the other side. It's easier to throw rocks from the other side of the border, too, because a Wisconsin legislator, a Republican from Tomahawk, has now joined other lawmakers from Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota in filing a formal complaint against Canada about wildfire smoke. Also from Anna Kleiber in the Journal Sentinel. Asking the Environmental Protection Agency and the International Joint Commission to investigate Canada's wildfire management practices because Canada's north woods are burning down. Again, I am begging for something of substance to come from our GOP lawmakers, not photos of naked men with sex toys. A local update is next for some of you, and then we'll be talking to Luann Bird coming up in about 15 minutes here up north. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
540 WAUK presents This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast available anytime you want it.
Hey, it's Downtown Danny Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally, talking about the floods in Texas. Who's to blame, and what can we learn about it here in Wisconsin? We're also going to honor the baseball's rising stars, especially at the local level, and then, of course, the politics of softball. Join us. It's going to be a great show.
This Week in Waukesha, a podcast always available online at waukradio.com.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back. Happy Thursday. And here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you're looking for news that takes a deep dive into the region, our community here in southeastern Wisconsin, look no further than Dan Schaefer. He's Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. He stops by once a week to give me something uniquely southeastern Wisconsin, and today he does not disappoint. Dan, I always invite you to come in and recombobulate some news with me that's uniquely southeastern Wisconsin. What do you have today?
Well, today I'm looking at a report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about property assessments in the city of Wauwatosa. Now, Wauwatosa, of course, to the west of the city of Milwaukee, within Milwaukee County, it's been a very fast-growing community. A lot of people are looking to move there, but this is the first property assessment that they have done since 2019. And on average, the report says, commercial and residential property assessments have increased by about 54% citywide for 2025.
Wait. 54%?
54%. The article quotes one person here whose home was assessed at $469,000 in 2025, more than double his assessment from last year, 2024, when he was at about $232,000. So it is part of a trend that is going on across the city of Wauwatosa here. There is, you know, greater demand for housing in that community. It's a, you know, it's a great community, close to the city, but still a suburb. And these property taxes are going to go up for people whose assessments is over kind of that 54% average. It could, you know, change differently based on specifics with the property. But I think this, the overall story that we should be taking away from this is that this is a really growing community, and this is going to create some problems here for that. But I think overall, it is just indicative of a trend in the area of housing costs really going up.
And for me, I've watched a lot of my friends move from the Milwaukee city proper, whether it's like Eastside or whether it's Bayview, making their way to Wauwatosa over the past decade. And while 54% increase may for some say, wow, your house is worth so much more, that also brings the specter of property tax increase, I'm sure.
Yeah, it will mean that there are many places that will see greater property taxes. And I think it is... you know, that is going to create certain challenges for people, of course, and all of that. It is also, you know, just goes to show that the city is growing again, too. Just looking at some history outside of this, you know, Wauwatosa's population began declining in the 80s and 90s and kind of was down a bit as of 2008 to 2010 range there, but has been growing significantly since then as well. And so that it's kind of reaching back to its previous high. It's about 50,000 people who live in Wauwatosa. And I think this is just, it goes to show that there are some unintended consequences that can come from growth.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't, I remember when we were looking for a house, we looked at Wauwatosa, and for no other reason, geographically, it didn't work out, but the property tax thing is the first thing I think of, and I understand it is absolutely a neighborhood that's booming. It's got great shops, but it seems like we're at a place where it's going to price people out, essentially, because mortgages on top of property taxes, that might be a problem for people.
Absolutely. And you know, this is something that I think we need to take a look at, you know, every level of government in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to housing. There's things we can take steps on at the state level, at the county level, at the city level to try to bring down some of these costs for people. But, you know, a lot has changed in this community since 2019. Certainly a little bit of sticker shock from a lot of the people who live in Wauwatosa. But, you know, how this shakes out with the final tax bill, there's going to be some questions to be asked. You know, the government in the city of Wauwatosa has posted links to their assessor's office to get people, if people have questions about like what the assessment is, how this is going to change things, how this might impact their property taxes. There are ways to get more information there as well. And, you know, I live very close to the border of Milwaukee and Wauwatosa, and I can see there's a lot of development happening. There's new places being built all the time. Tosa Village is really becoming a magnet for activity in a lot of different ways. And so I think, you know, as we look at like what are the beyond the biggest cities in the state, the Madisons, the Milwaukees, even Green Bay to a certain extent, I think Wauwatosa is going to be a place that is going to be like, you know, one of the top 10 most populated cities in the state in the not too distant future.
And good for them. I love that. I love how Tosa has grown and diversified and has, you know, manages to balance that. There's a local feel to Tosa while still being a bigger city in at least the county. But with such a spike in assessments, there's not really a whole lot government can do for people who are going to be left maybe in the lurch financially, because it's at the end of the day, you're responsible for your mortgage, you're responsible for your property tax, and people can't really call their local government to get relief for that, correct?
That's right. But, you know, I think there are ways for people to challenge the assessment. And I think the city of Wauwatosa is outlining ways for people to do that between over the next couple of weeks here. There are objection forms that you can submit. Those are due, according to the piece here, August 16th. But, you know, it's one of the, again, it's just a story of some of the unintended consequences of growth. But I also think, you know, just stepping back, taking a look here, the property's growing in Wauwatosa 54% in just 6 years is a pretty big deal.
It's something we're going to have to keep our eye on. I'd love to see what happens with those challenges to the assessments and people talking about their property tax increases. Dan, thank you so much for stopping by. As always, I appreciate your take on southeastern Wisconsin.
Thanks, Greg.
You can catch more of Dan's work by going to civicmedia.us/news or going to the Recombobulation Area website and subscribing today. Like I said, award-winning journalism, deep dives into topics that directly affect our community, and it's all there for a very affordable price at the Recombobulation Area. Stick around after the news, because in the 8 o'clock hour, Pat welcomes civic media meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Chad Holmes, as well as political consultant Joe Sapecki. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUK Radio and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and civic media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 729.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
The harvest of one of Wisconsin's more unique specialty crops is underway, but it's not going as well as they'd hope. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and the mint harvest is below where they'd like it to be. Richard Gums with Gums Farms is here to give a look into why that is.
Mint harvest is not going as well as it should. We've only been into it now about 10 days, but the oil quantity that we're receiving is not meeting our expectations. I'm a little concerned that the cloudy days that we had earlier in July and the haze and the smoke is really affecting the sunlight penetration, which is what helps form the oil in the leaves. So consequently, yield is extremely below par.
Gums also says that they only have about 7 to 10 days for the weather to change to have a better end of the season. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at the markets right after this.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at how the markets are moving. Cash corn is up 1.5 cents at 381.25, with new crop corn up 2.25 cents at 403.5. Cash soybeans are down 0.75 cents at 964.75, with new crop soybeans down 0.25 cents at 984.25. September wheat contracts are moving 2.25 cents higher, 510.75. Looking at Class 3 milk, September contracts are up 8 cents at 1851 hundredweight, and October contracts are up 9 cents at 1854 hundredweight. Yesterday, 40-pound blocks of cheese closed down 0.25 cents at 180, and butter closed down 0.01 cents at 243. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Slight chance of a thunderstorm today. Otherwise, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, showers and storms and a low of 72. Friday, partly sunny, 86. Again, a slight chance of a storm. Saturday, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the upper 80s.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jay, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
President Trump claims it is common practice to move a convicted sex offender to Club Fed. Is that accurate? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Remember, you can sign up for my weekend Wisconsin politics newsletter, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. And in that newsletter, we also put in a question of the week. And this week, we're looking at the redistricting in Texas, where Republicans are trying to add 5 seats artificially, and asking, what should democratically controlled states like California do? Should they respond in kind or not sink to that level? And again, folks can answer that by being subscribers to our newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. We were just talking about the Wisconsin State Fair, getting out there and talking to people. And we were talking in the last segment about a couple of Republicans who have done that. There are plenty of other folks, a lot of good progressives working at the state fair as well. I'm looking at the Facebook page of our friend Lou Ann Bird and seeing her doing a little pressing of the flesh at the Wisconsin State Fair as well. And she joins us now live to visit with us. Lou Ann, good to see you. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Good morning, friends. Good morning, Pat and company.
It's so nice to see you. And
Thank you.
Like I said, I did see you in that same Resist t-shirt that you were wearing at the Wisconsin State Fair. So let's start there. Before we get to the Congressman Stiles listening session, you get to do your own listening when you're at places like the fair. Tell us about those conversations.
Well, they're the same, really. I have a lot of people need hope right now, and a lot of people are very tired of the regime and the autocracy that's in place. So I have a great time talking to people, not really talking, mostly, again, listening to what their concerns are and giving them a place, a space where they can actually be part of the change. So I invite people to join the Democratic Party. I invite them to join our protests that we have every weekend on Saturday at 10 o'clock on the corner of 76th and Layton. And we hold up our signs and we rally in support of democracy. So, yeah, those conversations are great. It's also hard because, you know, there's such a division. It's not even like we just disagree. There's, you know, people that don't agree with Democrats can be kind of a little bit not rude, but, you know, they're not willing to engage in a conversation. And that's something I always like to work on. But it was great. It's just great to be down there.
And the thing of it is, what we do need are more conversations. And you are perhaps the quintessential person, the opening of, if somebody does not agree with Democratic or progressive points of view, but you want to start a conversation, you want to start it with somebody like Lou Ann. It has always been nothing but respectful. I've seen when you've gone up to, for, you know, like Senator Ron Johnson. And it's the kind of discourse we all wish we could have when we start from places where we don't agree. At no point have I seen, you know, some Republican want to accost you, because you're simply a very easy person to talk to.
Well, I've been treated pretty rudely by a few. There was a guy that came up to me. We don't need to talk about that. What we want to talk about is, yeah, I like people. I respect Republicans. I respect Democrats. I think Republicans that are Trumpers are in a different space. They just are full of fear and they want power and control. And so I still think we need to talk with them. We need to understand where they're coming from, because democracy, it's so serious what they're doing now, and they don't even realize it. I had a short conversation with the chair of the Republican Party, because you know me, Pat, I just go up and talk to
anybody.
People.
Yep.
And I saw him at the fair, and we were just chatting and being very nice and, you know, family and summer and whatever. And then I did ask him about Trump, you know, do you think he has too much power? But then I said, I asked him about the executive order that Trump signed, because he said, you know, I really care about people with disabilities. And I said, me too. See, there's that common ground.
Right.
However, what he didn't know is that Trump signed an executive order allowing new businesses within the agencies, the federal agencies, to not have to make their buildings ADA accessible if it's going to limit their ability to be prosperous, because those things only benefit a few. So it's really scary to me that even some of these Republicans that I think share some of our values don't know what Trump's doing. So we have to get in there and we have to keep having these conversations and doing our own research. Don't just accept what they say because they're good at talking points.
Well, and that's where we make the pivot to the town hall here, because, again, in conversations, you know, people can be very nice and pleasant. They don't have to be rude. However, there's a difference between having, you know, a pleasant tone and having a pleasant tone and not being completely truthful, would be my word. And for that, I would turn to Congressman Stile, who is continuing to defend an indefensible bill for the cuts that it makes and continuing to be an advocate for Trump's, you know, deportation policies and things. What I'm saying, Luann, is a lot of people want to give him credit for having an in-person town hall, but I think that credit gets negated a bit when, if you're not willing to be truthful with your constituents.
Well, it was clear that the attendees weren't going to accept that. And when he pivots to blaming Biden for open borders as to the reason we have an immigration part, we didn't let him do that. I mean, the crowd cut him off, which is how we were feeling at the time. I know for some people, that kind of an angry town hall, they don't like, and I don't either. It's too bad we've had to go to that, but we didn't let him. And here's the thing, it was a quote, listening session, and the speakers, thank you to all of you who spoke up. They were very respectful, very direct. And it's all on my website if anyone wants to go watch. We just put up a shortened version today, so you don't have to watch the whole clapping and everything.
Give me the website quick so I can put that up on screen.
It's luannbird.com.
Okay. Luann, L-U-A-N-N.
L-U-A-N-N dot bird.com. Yeah, and it's also, well, anyway, so here's where I struggled. Every time someone stood up there and spoke eloquently, like about internment camps in Florida, which he would then say, well, I disagree with that description. You know, he would say, I disagree. And then on all the issues, like on immigration and on feeding children in Gaza, you know, he had his pat answers. So I don't call that a listening session. I'm not sure what he did that for, because a listening session would be acknowledging what you heard and then maybe being open to what we're saying. And I didn't sense any of that. So he thinks on immigration, we just have to follow the law, which means kicking people out. But one of the listeners kindly reminded him that it's just a misdemeanor if you're in this country illegally. And, you know, we reminded him that it's an internment camp because there's no due process. You can't call it a detention center because it's actually an internment camp when you arrest people for no reason and you throw them in and they can't see their attorneys. And that's happening in America right now. So it wasn't a listening session. It was I call it a rubber stamp for Trump. That's what it was.
Well, there was a lot of, it's performative now. It's a matter of taking your lines and being able to deliver them, not just to a friendly crowd, but to a crowd that may not necessarily agree with you. And I think that too many politicians are doing just that. They're treating this as theater, as something, as a performance that they have to make, but stick to your guns rather than actually having the back and forth and showing some independence, showing at least a little daylight between yourself and, in this case, Donald Trump, to say, you know, I don't agree with him on this thing or that thing. And that's the problem with this entire congressional delegation right now is, I mean, they're all afraid to show any daylight between themselves and Trump, aren't they?
They are. Mm-hmm. And in my home, you know, my husband's very sick and we have a lot of aides that come in and help out and they're all on Medicaid. And you know, I wanted to share the story about that, about how one of our aides is actually on the Affordable Care Act. His premium is $900 a month. And he finally, I knew all along he was going to lose that. He finally figured it out and he was heartbroken. So those are the kind of things where what these Republicans and what Congress is doing is hurting people. It isn't just we disagree anymore, but there are children that are starving in Gaza because we are not. America used to be at the forefront of foreign aid. And instead, Trump is negotiating with his friends with Netanyahu instead of America being the people that care. We are the people that care. It's just that our leaders don't. You know, this is heartbreaking and that all these people are going to lose their health care. And all because, Pat, they wanted to lower the tax rate for the wealthy and the big corporations so that they could spur innovations. It's all about the big people and prosperity. But that has shown in history to never, ever work. So we could take care of a lot of these problems that we're facing and that the people in that room were angry about if we would just make everybody pay their fair share.
We're talking to Lou Ann Bird, former candidate for legislature and continues to be active in the community. LouAnnBird.com, LouAnnBird, LouAnnBird.com, or on Instagram, Bird4WI, BirdForWi, where, I mean, there's no shortage of pictures of you, you know, meeting with people, continuing these conversations. Here's an aspect of the conversation that I wonder about, and you just hit on it, that all of these cuts, they're not actually saving anybody anything because they're just going right to tax cuts for the very wealthy. It's not like it's coming back to middle class taxpayers, but I always get the impression that there are still far few people who know that. In your conversations, do people get that these cuts aren't actually saving anything? Do they know that, or is it, or do you see them realizing it after the fact and feeling like they've been hoodwinked?
Well, the people that really need Medicaid, for example, don't know. They really don't know what's going on at the federal level. And they really just don't know. So we have to educate them. We have to help them understand. And don't you wonder, like, oh, they're always cutting billions and billions of dollars. They're holding money back from grants that they owe, universities and education and things like that. That money's all going to detention centers now, to internment camps. So when you just have to help people connect the dots. What are they doing with this money? This budget wasn't about lowering the deficit. It actually increases the deficit. I mean, it's still at $3 trillion. So it's not, watch what they say, watch what they do, not what they say. Okay.
Exactly. And again, just this week, you know, new numbers came out on the big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. And it now crosses $4 trillion.
Yeah.
That it adds to
That's
the
right.
debt. And
That's right. Those,
it's just for all those folks that say that have always said, oh, it's about the deficit. The deficit is killing us. As Tony notes on YouTube here, it's like they're always talking about balancing the budget. There's never been anything this far out of balance. And that's your big mission is conveying that to people.
Well, that's right, because even my aide that didn't understand how that all works was asking me, he's like, now, because I protest all the time and I'm off to go protest after we take care of Phil. It's like, well, now what are you protesting for? And when I explained democracy, he's like, well, what do you mean? What's going on there? And then I explained to him that, well, right now the president is totally in control. Congress isn't doing their job. They are not standing up to the president, who is constantly breaking the law. We have lost our balance of power. And when Congress goes ahead after Trump cut the $9 billion, then that Congress had already approved and allocated toward great programs that help people all around the world, then Trump cuts it and Congress, instead of standing up to Trump, rescinded that money. That is not democracy. So by technical terms, we've lost our democracy at the moment. But the good news is that when this happens, people can rise up and we can take it back. We can demand when we get to those people that are so loyal to President Trump, we can unravel this autocracy that we're all stuck in. So I stand up on my street corner every Saturday at, 76th and Layton with my signs, because we've got to sign people up. We've got to educate them, Pat, and we can change things.
And learn more at LouAnnBird.com. Lou Ann, thank you so much. Great to connect with you again.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Pat,
all right,
for
you
what
bet.
You do.
We'll talk to Todd Alba and Rigby Olson coming up right after this. You're up north. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 174-year-old Wisconsin State Fair is underway and is a finalist for USA Today's 10 Best list. Could it be the Cream Puffs? Here's Christy Chuckle with the fair.
The Cream Puff was created to showcase the dairy industry in Wisconsin.
The story of Cream Puffs never gets old. And now renovations of the former Cream Puff Pavilion, renamed the Dairy Building, will show off a new kitchen and more.
Watch them being made right there, right before you buy them. That's why they're so delicious.
The bakers known as Team Cream Puff will be able to crank out more than 400,000 during the fair. They're even adding chocolate cream puffs for the first time. And it turns out there's a secret to eating them.
Just twist, open it. It doesn't necessarily squish all over, but some people just like to go for it.
So go for it and enjoy the tasty history of the state fair. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is
stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Thursday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. There is one topic that we talk about here at Civic Media, probably more than anything else, because the importance of it all, and it's our fundamental right as American citizens, and that is voting. We discuss this issue a lot, whether it's about registration, whether it's about where you go to vote. And if you want to find out more information on that, go to myvote.wi.gov. You're going to put your information in there, and then you can see sample ballots in case you have an election coming up. Polling place location, they'll tell you who your representatives are, and that comes with phone numbers and addresses. Feel free to call them and tell them about the work they are doing. Always be nice. And the reason why I bring this up is because we're talking about voter rolls today. And we sat down with Deb Cronmiller, who is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, to talk about what needs to happen if your names are taken off the voter rolls.
Our guest is the executive director of the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. Deb Cronmiller is here. And we talk about this, but we haven't talked about it probably enough recently, is for people to go back and just to make sure that their voter registration is still there, because various states handle this differently when they decide to start purging voter rolls.
Right.
And in fact, Wisconsin just completed its regularly scheduled, as is in statute, what is called the 4-year maintenance. And if you haven't voted in the last 4 years, but are showing as active in the voter registration list, you were in fact removed from the voter rolls as an active. You moved to inactive. Which means for you as a voter, if that's your situation, then now you're going to have to re-register. So the league always, you know, suggests that you go to myvote.gov to get your confirmation that you are still registered. Yeah. And if you're not, you can re-register there so that the next election you'll be able to vote. And though it seems like a long way away, because our next election isn't until next spring, maintaining your registration on a year-round basis is a good thing to do.
It is.
Why wait until you're in a panic right before the election? You could do that now. So go ahead.
Yeah. Myvote.wi.gov will include a link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is go to that website. You put in your address, and that will tell you your voter status, along with every person who represents you, all of their contact information, which is there for to be used, is the way that I look at it. That's why they have their phone numbers there.
And if you're new to Wisconsin, if you recently moved into the state, you can use that portal to register. You do have to upload some additional documents to make sure that you complete your registration. You can always go in person to your clerk's office and register there. And but it's really, you know, that's the first step to being, you know, a voter, to having access, to having your voice heard, is registration. And then go do it. Vote on election day.
And I think one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up is because we see nefarious plans from all over the country trying to purge names from their voter rolls for whatever reason they're doing. And I don't want to focus on that right now. What I want to focus on is that this was a routine maintenance that happens. There was nothing. There was no bad plans behind it. And also speaks to the level of competence and excellence that Wisconsin's voter system is, the way elections are handled, they are run, they are trusted by most. But also, I think that it's important that people know that these names that are being moved from active to inactive is simply a matter of process than someone twisting their mustache saying, we shall kick them off the rolls because for whatever reason, this is just business.
Which, but what is happening in some other states does seem to be the curly mustache going, yep, yeah, we're going to find some ways to get these people off of here because they don't vote the way we like.
Right. And that's one of the reasons that we're blessed, all of us, to live in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, our statutes are so prescriptive about how our elections are administrated. And the 4-year maintenance is described in statute. It's not to disenfranchise. Mm-hmm. It's to just make sure that, you know, we're checking in with a voter at least once every 4 years to say, hey, you haven't been exercising the franchise. Are you still here?
Right.
Do you still live where we thought you lived? Do you, you know, and if they don't respond to the message, then they do leave the rolls. And then the league actually is part of our work. We request that list and we try to do follow up.
That's wonderful.
So for people
for you.
Who are still in the state, We'll text them, you know, we'll try to get them to go register and we'll show them how to register and how easy it is.
That's fantastic.
So go to myvote.wi.gov just to check to make sure you are still on the voter rolls. And if you got pushed into that inactive file, there are steps you can take to get back on the active file. Deb Cronmiller, you have a great website too, Deb, and you have like a whole toolkit and everything at the league's website.
That we do. We have many toolkits, and but you know, getting registered is a very easy process. You know, we have just passed a constitutional amendment which changed nothing. It just says we need IDs. Well, we needed IDs before, so bring those when you come to vote.
Yeah.
And then to register, you'll need both an ID and your proof of residence.
We want to thank Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin for stopping by Matt and Aaron Air and talking to us about the importance of knowing your registration for voting and making sure it's up to date at all times, as well as knowing what you need to bring to the polls in case you have to register on the day of election, which still takes place in the state of Wisconsin. If you'd like to find out more about the League of Women Voters, go to my.lwv.org/Wisconsin. If you have more questions about where you need to vote, what's on your ballot, or who represents you, go to myvote.wi.gov. Put in your information and you'll see everything you need.
Stick around after the news, because in the 8 o'clock hour, Pat welcomes civic media meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Chad Holmes, as well as political consultant Joe Sapecki. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlove. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and civic media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
CBS News Brief. Vladimir Putin says he's planning on an in-person meeting with President Trump that could take place in the United Arab Emirates. The news a day before a deadline for a ceasefire deal with Ukraine. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Despite Trump's current optimism, he's still threatening economic sanctions against Russia this Friday, including penalties on countries who purchase Russian oil.
President Trump's higher tariffs went into effect on dozens of U.S. trading partners this morning. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
So far, many companies have not yet passed along the full impact on tariffs to consumers. Economists expect that they will do so more and more over the next few months.
Eli Lilly reports participants in a late-stage study of its obesity pill lost almost 12% of their body fat in about a year and a half. Medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
We do not yet know how much they're planning to price this at, but we do anticipate it should be less than the injectables. How much less remains to be seen.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.